The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but he had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Have you ever thought about the difference between the nativity stories in our gospel text? I mean, we have Matthew and Luke, which both talk about, at least, the birth of Jesus. Mark begins after Jesus' birth, begins with his ministry. And John, well, John's just a little different. But we'll talk about that the Sunday after Christmas. Only Matthew and Luke actually write about the birth at all. In Luke, which we hear every Christmas Eve, we get lots of details. And it sounds like this huge event. We have emperors and governors and angels and shepherds and so on and so forth. And this great big cast, this great big event, and it sounds so exciting. In Matthew, we get one sentence at the beginning of the text, and then part of a sentence at the end of the text. It goes like this. "Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. She bore him a son, and he named him Jesus." That's it. That's all Matthew really gives us. Nothing about traveling, nothing about the star, nothing. I mean, we still get any of that stuff here. No shepherds, no angels, not in the birth itself. It sounds tame, ordinary. It just isn't much of a big story, nothing to get excited about. We get the barest of details. Jesus, the Messiah, was born and named Jesus. End of story. But what we don't get out of here is how this ordinary sounding event that happened in a very ordinary time and seems to have nothing very special about it is actually something quite different. One of the things that occur in our text today is we come to realize that the birth of the Messiah was not a given. Not in this time and in this place. Mary and Joseph were engaged, or if you remember the old RSV, they were betrothed. And that engagement meant that a contract had been reached between the bride and the bridegroom and the bride's parents, and that an exchange had been made. He had given something for her, and in return, he was to get her as a faithful spouse. Now, when they become betrothed, they are legally married, but the marriage has not necessarily been consummated. And in this case, we're pretty sure that's true. But when Mary turns up pregnant, Joseph becomes suspicious. Maybe there's a little hanky-panky going on somewhere that he doesn't know about. And so he ponders his options. For most men in his position in that time, in that place, there were really two choices. One, he could divorce her very quietly. Now, if he divorces her quietly, she is set aside. Everybody knows that something was wrong. She's probably not going to get married to anyone else. Her family may or may not support her. And she most likely ends up begging in the streets and dies young. Most likely. On the other hand, he can divorce her publicly, which means they take her out to the city gates and they stone her and she dies much younger. So either way, it wasn't really a very good choice for Mary, was it? But Joseph was going to hope to do it quietly and then hope for the best. But while he's trying to decide, this pesky angel shows up. And the angel explains what's really going on and says, Joseph, go ahead, marry her, stay with her. This child is of the Holy Spirit. And furthermore, when he's born, you are to name him Jesus. Now, if you're Joseph, what do you think? But suddenly, what seemed to be some rather ordinary circumstances and some rather ordinary people in a rather ordinary time becomes a pretty extraordinary event. Joseph wakes up, does what the angel tells him, and Jesus is born. Now, don't we sometimes get caught up in what seems to be very ordinary things, and then they sometimes turn out to be extraordinary? Sometimes a simple errand turns into something quite involved and yet unexplainable. Or some other event in your life or a chance meeting with someone turns into something that you can't quite explain later on. Sometimes those things happen to us, don't they? When God enters into our lives, anything is possible. Visits from angels, visions, and unexpected events happen when we least expect them and where we least expect them. Joseph, when he became betrothed to Mary, probably expected the same thing that every other married couple expected. A normal life, 2.5 kids, a dog, and a station wagon, right? The American dream. But instead, he becomes stepfather to the Son of God. This simple story, a marriage between two peasants, becomes a story of a king born, of unlikely people in an unlikely place, in an unlikely way. The story shows us that God does indeed use ordinary people, ordinary times, and even ordinary events to do extraordinary things among us, his people. Even if we don't feel like we are worthy to be used by God to help others, to do God's work with our hands, to take God's word to those who have not heard it, or to do things that we aren't sure we know how to do. In those times, we should remember Mary and Joseph and how extremely ordinary they were and how ordinary they expected their lives to be. We too, from our ordinary lives on ordinary days, are invited to do the extraordinary in God's kingdom. We are invited to be with those who need a listening ear, a shoulder to cry on, a hand in time of trouble, or just some simple words of comfort. Just as the angel reminded Joseph, Emmanuel, God with us, is always here. No matter where we are or what we are asked to do or feel compelled to do, God is always with us. Just as God was with Mary and Joseph during that extraordinary time in their lives, the birth of Jesus. Amen.